The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise as we continue to sing our first hymn, number 37. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
for me.
For you are my rock and my fortress.
And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me.
Into your hand I commit my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, against all.
Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress.
My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also.
Make your face shine on your servant.
Save me in your steadfast love.
Be a rock of refuge for me.
A strong fortress to save me.
For you are my rock and my fortress.
And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me.
Set us free from the bonds of our sins. Deliver us from every evil. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Question 53. What is valuable about liturgical worship? Liturgical worship follows this pattern. Christ speaks his word and gives his supper. The church receives and answers in confession, thanksgiving, and petition. In this way, the liturgy keeps us focused upon Christ. No basic elements of the divine service include the following: confession and absolution, invocation, confession, word of the service, introit, psalm, entrance hymn, the Kyrie, the hymn of praise, the salutation and collect of the day, the Old Testament or the first reading, the psalm or gradual, the epistle or second reading, the alleluia and verse or the tract, the holy gospel, the hymn of the day, sermon, creed, prayer of the church, offering, offertory, service of the sacrament, the proper preface, the Sanctus, prayer of thanksgiving, the Lord's Prayer, the words of our Lord, the Pax Domini, Agnus Dei, the distribution, the post-communion canticle, the post-communion collect, and the benediction. The Old Testament reading for Quinquagisma is from the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one I named to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said, and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was, when they came, that he looked on at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest. There he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for he will not sit down till he comes here." So he went and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. You are the God who works wonders.
You have made known the might of my people.
You and your arm redeemed your people.
The children of Jacob and Joseph.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Christians in Corinth, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy.
Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is different has perfect has come, then that which is part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Here at the epistle reading, please rise for the tract. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God.
It is he who made us, and we are his.
And we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 18th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with verse 31. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose
by the prophets, and I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if I were God, I'd do things differently. Now, you might find this statement to be blasphemous and foolish, and you'd be right. I mean, it's blasphemous even to think about taking God's place as ruler of the universe. And it's quite foolish to think that you know better than God. Nevertheless, this thought is not confined to the minds of raging lunatics. I mean, people everywhere frequently think that they know better than God. And they act upon such a ridiculous and absurd notion. Dear saints in Christ, you know, our first parents were the first ones to start this trend. They knew God's command. Still, they were persuaded to believe that they knew better than God. And so sin and death spread to all mankind.
However, the Lord sees not as man sees. And this still continues to confuse sinful people today. You see, all human beings are sinners. And consequently, Scripture says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. And the disciples demonstrate this for you in the gospel reading. Our Lord says, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." Well, these are pretty plain words. Still, the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Now, it's not that the disciples didn't understand the words Jesus said, but they could not understand what Jesus meant by them. You see, his plan was so vastly different than what they would have expected. In other words, if they were God, they would have planned this whole Messiah thing a lot differently. People in general think that they could do a better job of being God than God. And as crazy as this idea is, that is the nature of sin. Every time you act against God's law, you are behaving on the idea that you know better than God. And when false teachers preach false doctrine, they are operating under the assumption that they know better than God. Such false teaching have left devastation in their path. God teaches in his word that a sinner is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. However, false teachers who know better than God teach that a sinner must earn his salvation through good works. And this has led to self-righteous hypocrisy in some and utter despair in others. Whenever people think they know better than God, they only cause hardship and strife. Now, yesterday was Valentine's Day. This has become the day of romantic love. I don't believe there is a word that has been more misused than the word love. Scripture says God is love. Nevertheless, the sinful world claims that it knows what love is better than God does. And the results have been devastating. Our culture characterizes love as an emotion that seeks intense pleasure and relationships based upon love that are contingent upon the pleasurable moments. This definition of love has caused many, drunk by its emotion, to throw caution to the wind and strive after securing its fleeting pleasures. This is the definition of love that both young and old are instructed in by movies and shows, which they spend a whole lot more time watching than reading and hearing God's word, which teaches the correct definition of love. And what is the result of embracing this shallow view of love? Widespread fornication and adultery, children without fathers, mothers without husbands, abortion, and disease. And in 2015, demonstrators held a sign that love wins as the Supreme Court struck down every marriage law in the country that limited marriage to one man and one woman. Laws which sought to protect children by increasing the likelihood that they would have both a father and a mother. Laws that protected women by hindering abandonment. Laws which encouraged men to be men. And most importantly, laws that were based upon the revealed will of God. Of course, such sign wavers don't know what love is. Love is such a beautiful word. No one wants to be against love. But when love has changed from selfless and sacrificial action to selfish emotion, people are hurt in the name of love. In the epistle reading, Paul beautifully teaches you what God says about love. He tells you that love is essential, what the nature of love is, and that love endures forever. In the epistle reading, Paul gives you the impossible examples to show you how essential love is. You can't speak in the tongues of angels or understand all the mysteries and knowledge of God. But even if you could, Paul tells you that your teaching and preaching would be worthless without love. You see, the most important thing for you to expect from me as your pastor is that everything I preach to you is true and based upon God's word. But even if I know more and have more knowledge than any other pastor, that I can recite the Bible frontwards and backwards perfectly and answer every theological question perfectly, I would know absolutely nothing if I did not have love. How can this be? Because God is love. You cannot possibly understand God's word unless you understand love and are possessed by it. You cannot understand God's law unless you have love. The Holy Spirit caused St. Paul to write to the Christians in Rome, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." You see, the law of God commands that you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Every commandment you observe from God must have the ultimate goal of showing love to God and to your neighbor. You cannot understand the gospel unless you have love. The gospel that Jesus Christ died upon the cross to pay the price for your sins is God's expression of love for you. God thought about your needs and wanted to benefit you at great cost to himself. Love is essential to the gospel. That you do not know what love is unless you know the gospel. The gospel is God showing pure, unadulterated love to you. Because Paul says that without love, he would be nothing. Even if he had faith to remove mountains. Some theologians and some churches have argued that love is more important than faith in justifying a sinner. They teach that it is more important that you do works of love than have faith in Jesus. And that faith in Jesus alone does not save. However, this is not what Paul is teaching. Scripture clearly teaches that you are saved by grace through faith alone apart from your works. This means that you are justified by faith, not by your works of love. Nevertheless, Paul teaches you that there is no true faith without love. Your faith in Christ receives God's love. This means your faith will produce love. Still, God does not judge you based upon how well you love. Rather, God finds you innocent of all your sins purely through faith in Jesus Christ, who took away all of your sins. Paul tells you that no matter how great you think your faith is, it is not true faith if it does not produce love. True faith in Christ is not simple knowledge. True faith is trusting in God's love. True faith produces works of love.
Paul continues, describing the nature of love. Love is not pleasure-seeking emotion. Love is self-sacrificing action. To understand what Paul means by these words, you must look at how Jesus fulfills them. Jesus is patient and kind. Jesus is slow to anger and quick to forgive. Jesus does not envy or boast. Although he was in the form of God, he did not seek to be equality with God, a thing to be grasped, but took the form of a servant. And he became obedient to the point of death on a cross. Jesus is not arrogant or rude. Just think of that. Jesus claims the highest office. All things, whether in heaven or on earth or under the earth, are under his feet. Nevertheless, Jesus calls his 12 weak disciples friends. And he calls you friend too. He speaks to you with patience and understanding, just as he did many times with broken and messed up people as he walked upon this earth. Jesus did not insist on his own way, and rather, he sweat drops of blood with his soul in anguish to the point of death. He prayed that God's will be done, even when he knew that God's will was to crush him. Jesus went as a lamb to the slaughter for you. He went willingly. You see, this is the gospel reading. He tells his disciples that he is going to suffer and die in Jerusalem. Then why does he go? I mean, he doesn't need to go through all of that for himself. I mean, Jesus is God after all. There's no need for Jesus to leave his glorious throne, to take on your human flesh, to suffer your ailments, to be found guilty of your sins, to suffer punishment both in body and soul, and to die a miserable death. Jesus had no need to do this for himself. But you certainly did. If Jesus did not do all of this, then you and I would be punished for our own sins. But Jesus didn't insist on his own way. He didn't look out for himself. Rather, he looked after you and your needs. And this is love. You men might remember when a pretty girl first smiled at you. You women might remember when a handsome guy put his arm around you. Or perhaps you had the experience of your heart exploding as you looked at your newborn child or grandchild and held him in your arms. But you don't know love unless you know the love of Christ, the love that he showed for you, and possesses this love through faith. Jesus is not irritable or resentful. Although you return to him over and over again, repenting of those same sins, he does not resent you. Rather, Jesus forgives you often as you sin. And he forgives you with perfect patience. And yet Jesus does not rejoice at your wrongdoings. No, he hates your sin. He doesn't want you to fornicate or steal or to gossip. He wants you to confess your sins and rejoice in the truth. Jesus endures all things for you so that you can believe against all odds that God loves you. Love endures forever, Paul writes. Love never ends. Prophecies will pass away. Tongues will cease. Knowledge will pass away. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Here I am preaching to you again. I'll likely preach to you again next week because you need to hear God's word so that your faith in Jesus may grow and thrive. But there will come a time when you will no longer need to be preached to. You have faith now and you hope for many great things in the name of Jesus. However, there will come a time in the name of Jesus, that your faith will be unnecessary. and you will no longer need to hope in what you do not see. Your faith, when you look through a glass dimly, will see the reflection of Christ as you hear Him preached, and as you receive Christ's true body and blood in the sacrament. Nevertheless, faith and hope must give way when the veil is removed from your eyes and you see Christ Jesus in the flesh and know Him even as He sees and knows you fully. Dear saints in Christ, love is eternal. God the Father has loved the Son from eternity and vice versa. You depend upon faith for your salvation now. But once you reach your salvation, you will no longer depend upon faith. However, God's love for you will still abide as you will love your God and one another. Your faith will have served its purpose, but love is the eternal goal. The world's shallow notion of love will pass away forever, but God's love for you will enliven you for all eternity. And for this reason, you thank God that God is God. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and mind in faith to Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, as Savior, hear.
Merciful Lord, your son was sought by blind Bartimaeus despite the crowd's objections. Increase our faith in Christ's unfailing love and his finished work of redemption, that we would also cry out to him despite the taunts and discouragements of this faithless world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, who summons a people for his praise from age to age, remember Matthew, our synodical president, Brady, our district president, Greg, our circuit visitor, and our pastor. Through their faithful service, open the eyes of those blind to your great love, that they may follow your son on his way, rejoicing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Lord of the church, uphold all Christians in the confession of their Lord's name and faithful reception of his word and blessed sacraments. Give wisdom to our Lutheran church, especially to her secretary and to the men nominated to serve as president and first vice president. Give them discernment and equip them for their tasks that serve the church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all, you bestow your riches upon all who call upon your name. Bless parents with all wisdom as they teach their children your ways, that in all the households that they may confess their mouths that Jesus is Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember our nation, O God, in all its leaders and public servants. Watch over and comfort Gordon, Brandon, John, Rebecca, Donovan, and Emily. Guide them into the ways pleasing to you. Bless also the people of our own country, that they will delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
Loving Father, incline your ear to all who are in distress of body and soul, especially Pat, Carol, Richard, Steve, Kathy, Jerry, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Lisa, Tammy, Robin, Deb, Mary, Wally, Shirley, Billy, and the Leslie family. Comfort them with your presence, strengthen their faith through your gracious promises, and grant them healing according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Owen continually by your word and spirit, that he may faithfully keep the covenant into which he has been called, boldly confess his Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, bless all here today who eat and drink the very body and blood of Christ in his holy supper, that we would receive the sacrament and repentance for the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of our faith, the salvation of our souls into your glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and most merciful God, you urge your church to be strong and fear not. Inspire us to trust your just judgment and inspect the renewal of this world. Strengthen our hands and knees to pray without ceasing and to perform the works you have prepared for us to do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you. Salutary. We should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord,
Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
quote. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given up for death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given up for death for your sin. Take, eat. True body of Christ. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, sealed for the remission of all your sins. And the blood of the blood of Christ. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take, eat, the body of Christ, given to death for your sin. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you back as your grace.
This salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us with the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord,
who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. His countenance upon you and give you peace.